This is New England Public Radio News. Across the country in recent months, monuments to the Confederacy became sites of renewed controversy and confrontation. The Confederate flag sparked demonstrations in state capitals and Pioneer Valley schools. But not all acts of confrontation and reconciliation occur in public. In Springfield, Massachusetts, an African American woman brought Aunt Jemima into her home. Reporter Ben James takes us there.
It's an image of black servitude etched deeply into the American psyche, a robust woman of dark complexion, scarf tied around her head. She was called Mammy, or Aunt Jemima, a stereotype of black womanhood that could be found everywhere, in movies, cartoons, commercials, in the form of syrup bottles and figurines on kitchen counters. Still, the last place Dora Robinson expected to find Aunt Jemima was along a back road in upstate New York.
Oh, she's heavy. She probably weighs about, I would say about 5 pounds or more. She's heavy, very heavy.
Robinson and her husband Frank had stopped at a yard sale run by a white woman when Dora picked up the rusted, dirty, cast iron doorstop.
And I asked how much they wanted for it, and I think they said $100, and I said, nah, did you take less? They said no, and I said, nah, I'm not spending that. So we get in the car, and we're leaving, and we go up the road, and I say, oh, Frank, I gotta have Aunt Jemima. She doesn't belong there. Let's go back. Let's go back and get her.
Robinson is a retired African-American woman who grew up during the Civil Rights era. She's devoted much of her life to social and racial justice, serving on the boards of numerous organizations throughout the Pioneer Valley. She's filled her home with a vast range of artwork celebrating black beauty and human dignity. Robinson has also collected a group of dolls and figures which tell a more harrowing story, not only of beauty, but of subjugation. She calls this her liberation collection, and at the center stands the cast iron doorstop she found in upstate New York. Because no figure sums up the complex and insidious role of racial stereotypes quite like Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima's.
Commercials from the 1950s show how this stereotype was employed in service to the economic interests and racial insecurities of white Americans.
Peg, these are terrific. What's the secret?
Oh, it's an old family secret, handed down from generation to generation, from father to son.
By Aunt Jemima.
The secret is out.
Well, I ought to know Aunt Jemima. I was raised on them.
Say, and I love the way this...
We recreated this kitchen that has literally hundreds of Aunt Jemima and Aunt Jemima-like images in it. And we have some of our best discussions there.
David Pilgrim is the founder and curator of the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia in Big Rapids, Michigan. Pilgrim acquired his first racist object when he was 12. At a fair in Alabama, he purchased a Mammy salt and pepper shaker, took it outside, and stomped it into the ground.
The first piece I ever purchased, I destroyed. But I've come to know and to believe that you can use, well, you can use any object, including an object that came out of racist ideology, that you can use it to learn. And you can use it to teach.
Pilgrim, whose new book, Watermelons, Nooses, and Straight Razors, was published this month, reminds visitors to his museum that the figure of Aunt Jemima is a fiction created to set limits on what a black woman could be. Here's Dora Robinson.
I have friends who would not, men and women of color, who would not necessarily want these images in their homes. They would not sort of, because of the negative message that it communicates.
Last time when we spoke, you mentioned your own parents and grandparents and what they would have said if they had come across it.
So why you got Aunt Jemima around here? You know, what's that? I mean, what's that about? I mean, it's not anything that they would go out of their way to acquire. In fact, if anything, the negative sort of shame and a legacy of slavery and post-slavery is the image that they have in their minds.
For Robinson, there are many aspects of the Aunt Jemima representation she's not proud of, but she sees resilience in the figure and does not believe it should be discarded.
She survived the time, as a woman, she survived the times, you know, and I think I find strength or sort of in the fact that we survived as a people slavery.
Dora Robinson's Liberation Collection has particular relevance now. The Confederate flag and memorials to Confederate generals have become hugely contested, with calls for the object's removal and destruction, as well as aggression from white supremacists trying to preserve the racist image's power. Robinson says she understands the thrill in taking these monuments down, but she questions the urge to destroy them. David Pilgrim also says it's essential to keep the historical evidence, even the most offensive objects, and make sure they're only shown in a context that inspires conversation.
And quite frankly, if you give people an opportunity to talk, they will say things sometimes that disappoint you. But if you believe in a triumph of dialogue, then you're okay with that.
Dora Robinson can handle the hard conversations. Holding up her weathered, rusty, cast-iron doorstop, her Aunt Jemima, she imagines what she'd do if, in a white person's home, she came across another figure like this one.
Do you think I would be bold enough to ask for her? Probably. Say, can I have her? You want to sell her? You know, you want to donate her? She didn't belong here on your floor, trust me.
For New England Public Radio, I'm Ben James.